How are conservatives in the U.S. House feeling about this latest debt compromise?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Voting could come as early as today in the U.S. House and Senate on a plan to raise the nation's debt ceiling. Now, supporters say the proposal cuts $2.4 trillion out of the federal budget over the next decade, including to entitlement programs, making liberal Democrats angry, and to defense programs, making conservatives unhappy. Now, the number is closer to $2.1 trillion, according to the very latest out this morning from the Congressional Budget Office. That's the number that holds the most weight ahead of the vote today. Republican Congressman David Schweikert serves the 5th District of Arizona, Scottsdale and Tempe. He also sits on the Financial Services Committee, and he's with us now. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you going to vote on today's bill?
Well, don't know yet. I'm only about one-third into reading the 74 pages so far.
Well, let's imagine that you're one of these meters, and you're reading, you know, the pages. Where are you leaning right now?
Well, my great concern, and it would be one of the reasons I'd probably be right now tilting towards a no, is I don't think it's going to do enough in the 2012-2013 budget cycles, which is all we really have control of. You know, our ability to basically hold a future Congress accountable to our numbers is impossible.
Do you think it's going to pass?
I do. I think there's a number of members here that are ready to move on to other subjects.
What do you say to President Obama, who says that, you know, he was looking for a balanced approach in this deal-making, and a lot of Republicans, particularly right-wing Republicans, were not ready to get there?
A lot of us found that to be almost sort of silly.
Yeah.
Let's figure, you run up the debt at a crazy rate, and then you say, oh, the balanced approach would be give me more revenues. If it was a balanced approach, we would have never run up the debt.
But that wasn't his debt. It wasn't all his debt,
well,
certainly.
But no, the huge spike is his.
What do you think is missing from this plan?
It's time for us to start getting our act together to deal with the regulatory overhang, the healthcare overhang, many of these things that are the unknowns out there. I spent a lot of time working on the Dodd-Frank legislation and what it's doing to squeeze down capital formation and expansion of loans instead of helping it. So we now need to move on to the next level, which what will grow our economy? What will create more jobs?
Representative David Schweikert from Arizona, Republican freshman member of Congress. Congressman, thank you.
I've enjoyed the discussion.
Now, the bulk of the cuts won't happen right away. They're pushed off until next year. And the bill is making it through Congress right now, forces Congress's hand by setting a trigger, a threat of more cuts, if cuts are not made when they're supposed to be. So what is a trigger? Marketplace's Gregory Warner explains.
So haven't we had enough threats? For weeks, politicians have been telling us that if they couldn't forge a deal on the deficit, we would hit the debt ceiling, possibly default, and wreak economic havoc.
And that was the triggering mechanism. Now we have perhaps a more rational trigger, which is if politicians don't come up with the required savings, automatic spending cuts would go into place. And that serves as a hammer.
Maya McGinnis heads the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a Washington think tank. She says this hammer is not as heavy as she'd like. It does, though, include deep cuts to defense spending. The idea is that both parties will seek a compromise to avoid that blow. But this hammer or trigger isn't set to go off until 2013.
Conveniently, after the election. So there are signs that all of this deal is structured to allow politicians to punt, delay these tough choices, put it all off until after the election.
Even then, she says, a bill is only as good as the will to stick by it. She says Congress might decide that this trigger, like the debt ceiling, is just too scary to pull. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are down right now. The Dow is off a full percent, 123 points at 12,019. The NASDAQ and the S&P each off about a percent as well. Wall Street not taking too favorably to the debt deal so far. The nation's manufacturing activity was mostly flat in July. The trade group, the Institute for Supply Management, said its manufacturing index fell to its lowest level in 2 years. But construction spending nudged higher for the month, the third rise in a row. Construction only grew, though, at a pace of 0.2%. Allstate Insurance posted a second quarter loss today, blamed on catastrophic losses, such as those tornadoes that hit the south and midsection of the country back in April and May.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines.
NBA owners and players head back to the bargaining table today. It's the first time the two sides have met since owners imposed a lockout a month ago. Now, in case the season is canceled, star basketball players are talking about getting paid to play in other countries. Could that undermine the owners' lockout strategy? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
A Turkish basketball team has been courting all-stars like Kobe Bryant and Deron Williams. With overseas job offers, elite players are under less economic pressure to cut a deal with team owners. But those are exceptions, says Gabe Feldman, director of Tulane's sports law program.
I think it's the rank and file who are more likely to start feeling the economic pressure, and those players are unlikely to get lucrative deals abroad.
Players aren't the only ones feeling the economic pinch. Some NBA owners say they lose money on games. I asked Feldman, do you buy that?
I think there is some substance that some teams are losing money. I think the number may be overstated, and I think the amount may be overstated.
Owners aren't so worried about players defecting to teams in Europe. They're more concerned that NBA players will follow in the footsteps of the NFL. Pro football players dissolved their union. That allowed a labor court to step in and end that lockout. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, the Easy Bake Oven is getting an electric makeover. It used to rely on one of those 100-watt incandescent light bulbs that burn bright and hot to bake all those cakes and brownies, but newer compact fluorescent bulbs don't burn quite as hot. So a new Easy Bake will have an internal heating element, so you won't have to go out and buy the light bulb. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there, while you're checking the numbers through the day. Marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.